Morning, everybody. Glad that you are here, and hope and pray that you're having a good day so far. Oh, okay. You're not. Well, praise God that you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. Good to see all of you. Good to have visitors with us today. Good to have a church family gathered together, and just want to encourage you to keep on growing in the Lord. Amen. Well, are you glad that summer's here? Some of you are not sure about that yet. When I was a kid, the summer was the big thing because, of course, school was out. And also, in our family tradition, summer was a time for adventures. One of the biggest adventures for me was to get to go to church camp. And when I was real little, my parents cooked for our church camp, and so I would get to go to camp when nobody else got to go to camp. And we were there for 2-3 weeks at a time. And then I got old enough to be there on my own, and every year I'd look forward to going to church camp. One of the traditions in the camping program we were at, the Christian camping, was the counselors would arrange for a particular time for the boys and the girls to go serenade the other ones on a particular night under their supervision. And it was to go and wake up, surprise the other party, wake them up, and to sing a song to them, then go back to the cabins and go to bed. Well, this one year, I remember in my early years, some of the boys decided they were going to surprise the girls and raid the girls' cabins without any adult supervision. And the word was going around and they were going to do it on a particular night. And I knew about it, my buddy and I knew about it, and we thought, well, we probably better not do this. And that night came, and the last bell rang for the day, and everybody was supposed to be in their bunks, lights out, and go to sleep, right? Well, we all got in the bunks, and lights went out, and after a few minutes, the adult counselors left the room and left us by ourselves. And it was pretty quick that all the boys gathered except for two. And they took off and went to raid the girls' cabins, and they got caught and got in trouble and came back to the cabins and went to bed finally. What about the two? Well, I don't know what it was. I think God was protecting me and my buddy because we hit the bunk and we must have been so tired. We conked out. We didn't even hear them get up. We didn't hear them get in trouble. We didn't hear them come back into the cabin. We didn't know anything till the next morning and found out that they had all left and got in trouble and all that. And they had to do cleanup duty and all these other extra little duties for breaking the rules while me and my buddy, we got to sit there and watch. Anyway, it's not always good to follow the crowd, right? It's not always good to do everything that everybody else is doing because sometimes there are bad things that can happen. A problem in our society, a lingering problem that occasionally major news networks will report on is where gang members or even individuals will pick a random victim to beat them senseless or even to death. And it's such a sad commentary in our culture that this has happened. Some of these individuals, they are just doing it out of pure meanness, no real reason that we can figure out. Others do it to rob the victim. Others do it, in some cases, gangs require that they a member prove themselves, and they have this horrible idea that you prove your worth to the gang by going out and picking a random victim to harm. Peer pressure is a powerful influence for even the strongest of individuals. The influence of others begins when we're little, when we're in school. All the kids, they start doing something and all the children join in because they want to do it too. They want to be part of the crowd. They want to be part of the group. It continues on into our school years, even into our adulthood, even into the workplace, where the influence of others upon us weighs heavily, that you don't want to be on the outside. You don't want to be one of those individuals who gets scorned, who gets ridiculed. And a lot of people have received a lot of battle scars from opposing ideas and influence, and they just don't want to deal with it anymore. They'll just go along with the flow in order to not get harmed. As Paul concludes his letter to the church at Rome, he writes to the Christians there and he gives them some guidance, some words of advice and encouragement for those believers to walk with Jesus. Paul has discussed that human sinfulness is all around us. Every one of us is guilty of sin, correct? All are sinners. Every human being, the only exception is Jesus Christ, who is God, who put on human flesh. But in Paul's letter, he talks about that human sinfulness, that Jesus was victorious over the power of sin and death, and has conquered that power in our behalf, giving us the power we need to stand strong in righteousness. He continued to write in the book of Romans that we are in a continuing battle. Even after we give our life to Jesus, there is a continuing battle between sin and corruption and wanting to serve God the way He calls us to do. And Paul encourages us to depend upon the Spirit of God and the Word of God to help us through those challenges. But still, the battle remains. And the battle will continue until we die. So how do we fight and deal with those battles? Only through the grace and mercies of Jesus Christ, through the power of Christ, through the Spirit working in us, can we overcome all of this. By the grace of God, are we forgiven through Jesus Christ to be a pure individual for Jesus? We're reminded in the Scripture that the Spirit is there to help us, to remind us, to motivate us. But we need to be listening to the Spirit working in our hearts and in our minds, persuading us, calling us to do the right thing, to live for Jesus, to live for God. To live in Christ makes us different from the world. And we will suffer. Jesus told us we will suffer as a result of living for Him. We are assured, we are promised that we will face persecution. So we better prepare for it. Accept it. Face it, that in Christ we will face enemies, and those enemies come from Satan himself and those who are serving him. But Paul tells us and he encourages us, be wise, but be innocent. Be wise, but be innocent. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You that You are with us. You who are the power behind this entire universe, between us and all creation, You give us the power and the strength to face every challenge. You've given us Your very Spirit to dwell within us. You've given us Your words of direction. You've given us the examples of others who have faced challenges, to learn from their example, to learn from their experience. So, Father, I just pray that we will take courage and boldness and find strength in Your power, Your Spirit, to face the challenges of sin and corruption and deception, that we would walk in Your path of life, led by Your Spirit, walking according to Your truths, serving Jesus Christ with our entire life. Father, we pray that we will be wise and that we will be innocent. Wise to the deception of Satan, wise to the traps of the world, and innocent of not falling for them. walking in your pureness, your righteousness, your truth. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for your help. And thank you for the promise of eternity as a result of serving you. Lead us and guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is taken from Romans chapter 16, starting at verse 17 through 20. Then we're going to skip over to verse 25. Reading from the New American Standard Translation. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I am rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. So Paul finishes writing his letter to the church at Rome, and it's been preserved for us to apply to our lives as well. Words of encouragement, direction, and guidance in walking according to Jesus Christ. As we look at these scriptures, we turn to these thoughts, and I've only extracted three different thoughts, main thoughts, out of this section, and there's much more there. I encourage you to take time to read and study it more for yourself. The first point I want to deal with is this opening thought in verses 16 and following. Guard yourself against deceivers among the believers. There are deceivers among the church family, among the believers that we are to watch out for. God's plan and desire is for unity among all the church members, among all those who claim to believe. The previous 16 verses focused on building unity in the churches. Last week we talked about this passage of sharing greetings with each other and making sure everybody is appreciated in the church family. There needs to be that unity and that strength continually growing in the church. But Satan is real. The devil is real. And he's still alive. He's still at work trying to destroy all of God's good, righteous plan. Christians are the target of Satan. We have a bullseye on us from the powers of evil. And part of those powers are floating around among us. Now, I hope none of you are guilty. I pray that none of you are guilty, that you fall into that trap of being used by Satan. But if Paul had trouble in the first century, Peter had trouble in the first century. Jesus had trouble in the first century. Has Satan given up the towel, thrown in the towel and quit? No, he knows his time is limited and he's working hard to destroy all of us. So we have to be careful that we don't become one of those deceivers doing the will of Satan instead of doing the will of Jesus Christ. God's word is truth and does not change with time. Amen? His word abides forever, Psalm 117. The shortest chapter in the Bible says this: Praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Amen. His word is everlasting. It will never change. God isn't up there on the throne scratching his head saying, well, let's see, what shall we decide today? No, God knows exactly what truth is, and he abides by that truth constantly. And we need to be focused in on his truth that he has shared with us. Jesus warned us to guard ourselves against false teachers. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. This is the telling of the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 16. And then we'll skip down to verse 20. Jesus says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their," what? "Fruits." And then he uses illustrations that we are familiar with. "Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?" He continues in using illustrations there. Verse 20, "So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That's telling me there's going to be a lot of people who are doing a lot of what we would call good things, but they are not dedicated to be servants of Jesus. And so they are going to be what? Rejected. Cast away from God forever. It's not just doing good things. We must be wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has warned us here. Jesus declares in John chapter 14 that the only way we can please God and enter heaven is obeying all of the words of Jesus. Jesus identified the majority of the Jewish leaders to be sons of Satan, whitewashed tombs. He used a few other explanations of who they were. But they were not children of God. How is that possible? The very leaders who were entrusted with the Word of God were not servants of God. That's what Jesus says. That's a challenge to us. If those who had the scriptures memorized frontwards, backwards were not children of God, where does that put us? Are we devoted in heart, soul, mind, and strength to be God's children? All who change God's word are under God's curse. Moses warned about this to the nation of Israel, that they were to remain dedicated to God's words, not just a few of them, but every single word, totally, completely, or they would suffer the curses that the Lord promised to send upon the enemies of the Lord. Deuteronomy. Go back and read it. Paul warns the church to stay focused on Jesus Christ to avoid the curse of eternal condemnation. Galatians chapter 1, read it, apply it. We must obey all of the word because we love God, because we want to serve him. Out of great fear, out of great respect, we must be God's children and not become deceivers, half committed. Going on to the second point that I have for you today, there continues to be great confusion regarding what is the truth. Have you ever looked around? You know, how do people decide what church to go to? Some of you are asking the question, is this the right church? Of all the various religions in the world, which ones are totally true? They must be totally true, not partially true, but totally true. If a person accepts Christianity as the truth, then we have the challenge trying to figure out, well, which group, which branch, which denomination will we follow? Which one's the right one? Is this church teaching God's truth? It can't be man's truth. It has to be God's truth. Or we will be told, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So we have to look at the world. We have to look at what is going on. Do not believe every word that you are told these days. I hope you figured that out. You can't believe everything that you're told nowadays. Otherwise, you're going to be buying every single car on every car lot. You're going to buy every medicine that's out there. You're going to be buying every shampoo that's out there because all of it works, right? You can't believe everything you hear. God gave you His Word in the Bible to guide you. Psalm 119, verse 105, one of those favorite passages is, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's Word is light and a lamp. Do we know the rest of the story? We have to read it in order to find that light and find that lamp. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy and us, saying, All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God has given us the information. Are we taking time to learn that information? That's the challenge. How do we make time to find God's truth and to apply it, to be sure to live by it? So if we can't believe everything we hear in the world, should we believe every preacher? Do not believe every preacher or church as God's messengers. There are many excellent charismatic preachers, much better than me. You could probably enjoy listening to a lot of people, a lot more than me. But are they teaching God's truth? Am I teaching God's truth? You can't accept it just because I say it, just because I'm behind this pulpit. I am responsible to preach God's word, but you're responsible to examine it, make sure it is truly God's word and not my opinions, not my take on it. And I try to be honest with you. When I am not sure of a passage, what it's meaning, I try to warn you and say, you need to study this. I'm not quite sure of it myself. We had that in Sunday school, Psalm chapter 88. What's the background of it? What is the meaning of all of it? And there's some confusion there. But when it comes to the message where God puts it in black and white, truth versus lies, we need to know God's truth. As Paul says, the scripture is there for us to learn, to correct ourselves, to get on the right path so that we can be pleasing to God, equipped for every good work. So don't believe every preacher or every church. There are many excellent, charismatic, sincere preachers today, just as there were in the first century. But if their message contradicts Scripture, if they add to God's Word or they neglect certain parts of God's Word, then that preacher is being used as a tool of Satan. I think back to my early days when I was preaching through the book of Romans. In the early chapters where it talks about those who are lost, and I got off on a tangent just based on a couple of verses that afterwards, after a few years, I reflected back on it and I thought, why didn't somebody speak up and correct me? I was the preacher. I was supposed to know all the answers, right? And I was a kid still wet behind the ears. And nobody corrected me. Elders, older people, students of the scriptures, they just sat there like a deer sitting in the headlights. like some of you right now. No, in love. You are called upon by God to know His Word. You've been given a blessing. Most of you have the ability to read, I trust. Most of you have a head with a brain in it. You have the ability to reason through and study. Use that. If you don't have a Bible, there's a bunch laying around here. Take them. Start using them. Know God's Word. It's not just up to me. It's not just up to that person sitting down the row from you. God wants you to know Him personally. God wants you to know Jesus personally. You are to examine the Scripture and know how to recognize false teaching. Many churches actually lead people away from God. If the Scriptures are not the central focus of a church, they are a tool of Satan. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." If anybody is teaching anything outside of Jesus Christ being the Lord, the only Lord and only Savior for life, they are leading you into deception. In John chapter 14, verse 15, a few verses down, verse 23, Jesus said, "If you love me, he who is the Lord of life, then you will keep his commandments." What are the commandments? What orders, what requirements did Jesus give for us to live by? If you don't know what those are, that means you're not reading the Scripture, and you're probably going to miss some. So please, take time to read your Scriptures. Brother Raymond shared in the devotion that I'm doing what I can to share with you, but in a 30-minute time span, I can't hardly teach you everything about the Scriptures. It takes more than the few minutes that we have right here. We must obey all of the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ and be united with Him in God. So be wise to what a church believes about Jesus Christ. And anytime you go to another place, find out, what are they teaching about who Jesus is? Does it match what the Scripture says? And if it's not matching what the Scripture says, look out. They're deceivers. They're being used by Satan. One church is not as good as another. We're not all headed to the same place. Not every religion is leading us to heaven. So we have to be careful. And it doesn't matter what is plastered on the wall of the building. Now, I firmly believe that Valley Christian Church is teaching God's Word. But if you go to another church that has something like Something Christian Church on it, that does not necessarily mean it is teaching all of God's Word. It may be using a biblical name, but teaching a totally different doctrine. So we do have to be careful. We need to be listening to what is being taught. Beware of people changing the meaning of biblical words. There are some groups, some churches that actually use biblical words, but they have interpreted those words to mean something totally different. Now, one of the ones that we keep dealing with is the word baptism. The word baptism means a full immersion. But about 1,000 years after the church began, the practice of sprinkling was accepted as a temporary fix until a person got well and was able to go to where they could be fully immersed. But what happened in time? The practice of sprinkling and pouring became the accepted way, whereas a full immersion was ignored. But as we read Scripture, we see that God is very touchy about keeping all of his words the way he instructed. We have many illustrations. You don't do things when God says don't do them. You do them exactly the way God says to do them. Otherwise, you pay a penalty. Usually, it's death. Read the stories. Read the illustrations in Scripture. When God says something, he means exactly what he says. Jesus prayed for the church to be united in him. John chapter 17 is that priestly prayer of Christ, praying for the unity of all those who are following Jesus. But the key is that we must be in him, doing things his way in everything. We can't mix and choose which parts we want to obey. We have to obey all of Jesus' teachings because he is Lord. He is our only Redeemer. He is our only Savior. So we have to do things his way. We must stand with those who obey him. And I mentioned you can't trust every church, but there are a lot of churches that are doing it the right way. And we need to know about those. And so when we go to another place, we can go find fellow believers that are going to be helping us to walk the path. And we do have lists of churches like that. But when we find out when one is not doing the right thing, when they're not teaching the truth, then we need to send out the red flag. Send out the flares. Send out the warnings. So that we can get things straight. We must avoid those who are not teaching truth. We cannot unite with those who neglect portions of the Bible, who neglect portions of Jesus' teaching, who neglect part of the apostles' doctrine. We can encourage them, but if they refuse to accept all of God's word, if we refuse to accept all of God's word, we stand condemned. The last point is, don't overcommit yourself to good organizations. There's a lot of good things out there in the world. People are constantly calling for you to participate in their good thing. We're doing good things. Jesus bought and paid for our lives. And when you gave your life to him and died to sin, he bought you totally, completely to serve him in how many things? All things. You are to be totally committed to Jesus, not a part-time servant. Everything we do is to glorify Christ Jesus. We must guard ourselves against getting distracted into doing good deeds just for the group, for an organization, even for a church. If we're trying to just glorify Valley Christian Church, we're doing it wrong. We are to glorify Jesus Christ. Come join us in where we're meeting at. We call it Valley Christian Church, but we're here to serve Jesus Christ. One of the challenges of preachers is that people start following the preacher because I really like to listen to him, and we ignore other people. And that's putting the person above Jesus Christ. So please don't follow me. Don't idolize me. I doubt most of you are. But there are preachers out there who say, man, so-and-so is going to be in town. I'm going to go listen to them. Well, I'm glad they're good preachers, but are you idolizing the person instead of following Jesus Christ? There are some great preachers I'd love to sit and listen to all my life. But then, am I getting the work of the Lord done? We each have a job to do. We are all assigned work to do by our Lord. And we need to make sure we're serving Jesus. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Everything. Whether it's out taking out the trash, can you glorify God as you take out the trash? Figure out a way. As you're pulling the weeds, are you doing it for the glory of Christ? You should be. As you're washing dishes, as you're cooking a meal, as you're going to work, as you're driving down the freeway, do all things for the glory of Christ. Figure out a way to honor Jesus. You see, Satan loves to keep us preoccupied and get our mind on other things, not serving Jesus. We need to do all things for the glory of Christ, even in our daily habits. Christians are commanded to mature more in Christ. Paul compliments the church, the Christians who were gathered at Thessalonica, the book of Thessalonians. They were dedicated to Jesus Christ, and they were serving him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But Paul writes to them, and he two times orders them, I'm glad you're doing well. Excel still more. If they're already given 100%, how do they give more? Well, there's probably ways that we never thought of. And so I encourage you, as the Apostle Paul encourages them, let's excel still more in serving Jesus. We're to both hear and do God's will as Scripture defines it. It's not by what I think I need to do. It's by the leading of God's Spirit, the joining together of fellow believers in what can we do to glorify Christ and spread the gospel. And there's always more that we can do, that we can excel still more. Is our lifestyle pleasing to God and showing our devotion to Him? I say this a little hesitantly, but critically, and I don't really have an answer right now. When I was a boy, my church life centered around church activities. We went to Sunday school, Sunday morning, and then we went to worship service. Then we went back home, and at 5:30, we were headed back to church again for evening service and youth group or choir practice or something. So Sundays were totally devoted to pretty much to church life. And then Wednesday nights, we were back at church for another 3 hours for Wednesday night activities every week. And then as time went along, we also usually were involved in a Bible study in a separate group on another night. Or if we weren't in the Bible study, we were out doing some calling on another night. That was my childhood. Today, our practice here at Valley is right now we have Sunday morning and Sunday morning. And then we have two adult Bible studies, which I'm thankful for. Don't misunderstand me. And a meeting on Tuesday mornings. You're all welcome to it. We call it the seniors group. But if you're over 5 seconds old, you're welcome. And if you're available, if you can come out, you're welcome. We have a men's group that's kind of limited to Thursday nights, to the men. And you're all welcome, men. Sorry, ladies. And I praise God that some of you women got organized and you had a women's Bible study for several months. Now you're on break right now. That's all right. I understand. I encourage you, be thinking ahead. And then we have every other Wednesday night. And all of you remember which Wednesday night it is, right? So I'm just, compared to the past, and I'm not saying the past was perfect or the right thing, but compared to now, I'm just thinking, are we as dedicated as our ancestors to knowing God's Word. I hope and pray that you're doing studies on your own, on a daily basis. How often do we eat? I eat it several times a day. How often do we spiritually eat? If it's just Sunday morning, you're starving. And you need to hunger and thirst after God's Word. If you love God, you will want more. I encourage you, study God's Word on your own. Take time to pray. It may only be 5 minutes, but start somewhere. If you're already doing 5 minutes, excel still more. Do 7 minutes. Do 10 minutes. Excel still more. Do 15 minutes. Pretty soon you'll find that you are hungering and thirsting for more. Let's love God. Let's not be stingy with our time or our talent or our treasure. Jesus died to redeem us. The last point, avoid places and people that are teaching the false doctrines. Paul tells us right here, stay away from those people. They're going to lead you to hell. Don't fall for it. Warn other Christians to avoid the deception and why it's a bad place. Not because you didn't like the way the preacher looked or because somebody didn't treat you right. Are they teaching false doctrine? Explain it to people why they should not be following other false leaders. Help others to be wise in Christ and innocent straying into sin. All preachers, all teachers, and all leaders are to be slaves of Jesus Christ. And if they are not, they are tools of Satan. If I teach you things outside of the Scripture, grab me. Explain to me what I'm teaching wrong. Let's discuss the Scripture. Reveal to me where I'm out of step. Because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to lead you to hell. I don't want to be told at the last second, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't want to hear that. Do you want to hear that? None of us do. We've got to prepare ourselves. Our Lord Jesus and His apostles have given us the plan of life in the Bible for our benefit, so that we may be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. Jesus Christ can return at any moment, and then we will have to give an account for where we are at. Let's all be found wise and innocent. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your word, for your grace, your mercies. Thank you for your help that you give to us. Help us to be true to your Scriptures, that we would be teaching all of your Word, that we would be led by your Spirit in the truths that Jesus Christ, the apostles, have given to us, that we not fall into the traps of Satan, the deceptions of Satan, the lies, the trickery. Help us to help each other. We do thank you for grace, but help us to not abuse it. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.